Thank you for joining us at the First Baptist Church of Colerain, Massachusetts. Today, Pastor Jim is continuing his series in 2 Corinthians. It is our prayer that this message will encourage the believer and bring the unbeliever closer to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Continue on in our studies of the second letter by the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, the Corinthian church. I'm going to finish today, chapter 6. Reading from verse 14 to the end of the chapter. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God. And they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. May the Lord give us understanding of his word this morning. Amen. Let's just open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again that we're here today. It's such an honor and a privilege. And we ask that you would give us understanding of your holy word and help us through this message that we've prepared to speak to each one of us. You desire for us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. So help us to do that, to forget about anything that might be troubling us, maybe on our minds, that may be distracting us. May we cast our care upon you because you care for us and speak to us, each and every one, we pray. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. So it talks about be not yoked with unbelievers. First, let's explain what a yoke is. Many of you already know. A yoke is a wooden beam that held between a pair of animals to enable them to pull on a load together. Now, when choosing animals, you want two similar in size that are yoked together, amen? No point putting a donkey with a chihuahua or, you know, it's just not going to work, you know. You have to be the same type. That way the load is made lighter so they can walk and work together. Walk and work together harmoniously. Otherwise, one animal will be bearing too much of the load while the other one is just being pulled along. It's not going to work. So in life, for a Christian to be yoked together with an unbeliever would be an unequal yoke, Like the Bible says in verse 15, there says, and what does a believer, Christian, have in common with an unbeliever? There's the question. I mean, they can't pray together, amen? They can't pray together. They can't grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord together. Because one is saved and the other one isn't. They can't worship God together because the unbeliever doesn't know who God is, amen? Therefore, they are unequal. It doesn't say that we're better than anybody else. No, we're not. But we are unequal. And in marriage, that's the closest bond that one person can have in a marriage relationship with somebody else. When a man and a woman become one flesh, that means they are yoked together. Now, uniting a believer with an unbeliever is uniting opposites, which can make, not always, for a difficult relationship because they are unequally yoked. And this is why marriage is not to be entered into lightly. And no marriage at all is always better than a bad marriage. Okay? Especially since marriage, a marriage relationship, is intended to last, ideally, we know that doesn't happen, till death do us part. But we know, we're not naive to believe that always happens. Praise God that it does sometimes. But many times it doesn't. And life doesn't always end like a Hallmark movie, where everything's always hunky-dory and, you know, that's not reality for a good 50% of the world's population. So be careful who you intend to marry. Do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever, the Bible says. Also, the same principle for you that are here and listening, that are unmarried, that may be contemplating marriage, the same principle applies to you for dating an unbeliever. Their morals will not be the same. They don't think the same. We're talking about unbelievers. They have different ideas from believers, yes? Different ideas of where they prefer to go, especially on Sundays, amen? What they prefer to listen to, what they choose to watch, what they choose to read, and who they prefer to associate with will not be the same. It will not be the same. Their language, their work ethic, just about everything will be different. So don't be fooled into thinking that you can convert them after marriage. Many have tried. Some may have succeeded. Some may have come to Christ after marriage, but more often than not, it's not. All right? Just because they say they believe in God, it doesn't mean that they believe in Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. Even the devil and the demons believe in God. That doesn't make them Christians. Of course it doesn't. And just, you know, going to McDonald's just doesn't make you a hamburger any more than going to church makes you a Christian. And Jesus said that you will know them by their fruits, not what they say, but how they live. He said, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. So you'll know them by their fruits, not by what they say and how they live. This is why the Holy Spirit, through Paul, warns the church from being unequally yoked, being involved in an unequal relationship with unbelievers. They are opposite, just as light is opposite from darkness. They're opposites. They have nothing in common. Just as Jesus has nothing in common with Belial, which is the Hebrew word for the devil. The idea that this unbelieving world is governed by the principles of Satan, and Christians should be separate from its philosophy and wicked practices. Amen. Jesus had no participation with them. He formed no union with them. Neither should we. We're not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Doesn't say that we're any better than they are. We're not. But we're different. Being unequally yoked can also be applied to business associates as well. To partner with an unbeliever in business would be an unequal yoke. Amen? You wouldn't have the same moral values in a business relationship, a business partnership. You wouldn't be able to pray together to seek the Lord's guidance for the business, would you? To enter into a partnership with an unbeliever can lead to real problems, possibly even some shady deal. Not always necessarily, but the danger is there. Unbelievers have opposite worldviews and morals, and any business decision made will reflect the worldview of one partner or the other. We don't think the same way. Also, being in a business relationship with an unbeliever could possibly put pressure on the believer to compromise their principles for the sake of profit. There's always that danger. But obviously, it's okay to be employed by an unbeliever. The majority of employers, I assume, would be unbelievers. That's okay to accept a job, otherwise most of us would be out of a job, except me, of course. You will have to work. And if we work for an unbeliever, we're not being yoked together with them, are we? Like a business partnership or a personal relationship. And we can always walk away from a job if it affects our relationship with the Lord in any way. Or if we're asked to do something illegal or immoral, we can walk away. Find another job if it's affecting our relationship in any way with the Lord. So if we seek to follow the Lord as God intended us, yet mix with ungodly practices, the danger is it's going to weaken our faith and cause us to go astray. Satan loves nothing more than for us to have our faith weak and for us to go astray. Jesus says you can't serve two masters. Amen. Scripture tells Christians not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers because, and you've got to be careful, that birds of a feather flock together. And that's no yoke. Okay, that's good. All right. That's the one for today. All right, okay. So you've got birds and they have, okay. You get it now? All right. I have to explain it most of the time. So we should be careful. I've said it before, and the Bible says it. I'll quote it again, 1 Corinthians 15:33. It says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." So make no mistake. When we compromise our beliefs with unbelievers, it's going to affect our behavior, and we will be influenced by the people we associate with. We're going to be influenced by their attitudes and lifestyle. Make no mistake. Whether it's in a marriage or a business or a friendship, if we have to avoid talking about the Lord in order to maintain that relationship with unbelievers, we've already compromised what we believe. Reminds me of a friend of mine in England. He's a policeman. You know, policemen wear that helmet thing, and when they're in the rec room, whatever they call it, all the policemen will put their helmets on this table, right? And they've got their name in it. They put their name in it so they know whose helmet it is. So there'd be a guy saying, "Who's Fred?" And I'm over here, and they give it to Fred. "Who's Tom?" Dick, Harry, and he used to put in his redeemed. That wasn't his name, but he would put redeemed. And someone would say, who's redeemed? And he would say, I am. I'm redeemed. And he was able to give his test. They know he was a Christian. You know him, Denise? Yes, sure. Cliff Harris, and he's a deacon, an elder in my home church in England. God bless him. So, yeah, don't compromise your beliefs. Stand up for your faith. Don't be ashamed. Remember that we are different, amen? We're different. You don't have to force it down people's throats either. They don't want to listen. That's their choice. We are different, and we are to act differently. Why? It says there, verse 16, does it not? Let's remind ourselves again. What agreement is there between the temple of God, that's you, and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. What does he mean? We have the Holy Spirit living within us. Amen? Our body is the temple of the living God. What about that one? As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. God is our Father. And if we separate ourselves from anything that dishonors him, anything that is unequal, anything that corrupts, if we can separate ourselves from those things, God will bless us. Guaranteed. 1 John 12:26, Jesus said, whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. So like I said before, you cannot serve two masters. And God wants to involve, he's not some old fella with a long beard laying on a cloud looking down, totally disassociated from us at all. He wants to be involved in our lives, in every aspect of our lives. He's going to guide us. He's going to protect us. He's going to fellowship with us if we are obedient. Obedient. Now, there's not many things that God asks of us, but there's a couple of things that he asks of us. And one is to be faithful. To be faithful. And the other one is to be obedient. That's all. Simple, isn't it? Not really, but with his help, we can be. Amen? And of course, that it says, be separate. Therefore, come out from amongst them and be separate. Touch not the unclean thing. It doesn't mean we have to cut ourselves off from unbelievers. That'd be impossible. We can't do that. It doesn't mean that at all. We can't separate ourselves from that which is unequal. It doesn't mean we have to cut ourselves off from unbelievers like a cloistered monk or nun. Jesus didn't. He mixed with sinners, and he was criticized for that reason by the religious people. On the contrary, we should involve ourselves with people's lives, whether they're saved or unsaved. We should involve and share our faith with them. It says in Romans 10:14, how then shall they call on him, Jesus, in whom they've not believed? And how can they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? See, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So remember that we are his ambassadors. Even though we may not agree or like or condone what unbelievers do, we're to do what Jesus did. What did he do? He loved them enough to tell them how much God loves them. Right? We're not to judge anybody. We are not the judge. There's only one judge, and that's the Lord. Amen? We're not to judge them, but we are to love them. And you can only love the unlovely when you see them through the eyes of Jesus Christ, the way he sees them. Amen? That's the way he saw us when we were unsaved, when we were his enemies, when we were outside. But he brought us in by his grace. So, wherever you are, if you're listening to this message and you're still not saved from your sins, know this, that God does love you, that Jesus died for you so you can be forgiven of your sins. If only you will accept him as your Lord and Savior. You know, they had this Wilson sale on. You know, Wilson's the tragedy. And it's our fault because we never supported them. We didn't buy our stuff from there. After 137 years, Wilson's is closing down. You ever hear that? And they said, if you got a letter and say, if you bring this letter, you'll get a greater discount. So I went over there, and I've never seen such a crowd in my life. The whole parking lot was absolutely chock-a-block with people. Fortunately, I got there a little early, and I was just parking there and got the heater on. It was cold. I wasn't about to stand in that line, so I ended up going having breakfast with Hal. So anyway, I missed out on the sale. But he said, yeah, let's meet down at Bonnie B's. You ever heard of Bonnie B's? You ever eaten there? I've never had. I thought he said Bobby V's. Remember that singer in the 50s? Some of you are old enough. I couldn't stand him personally, or his music. But I thought he said Bobby V's, right? But it's Bonnie B's. So I said, where is it? He said, it's just down the road from Wilson's. How far? A couple of blocks. Right. So I'm walking down. I'm trying to find Bobby V's that doesn't even exist. And I'm walking all the way down. I thought, this is hopeless, you know. I'll be in Coleraine at this rate. And there was a homeless fella sitting there. And he goes, you got any change? I didn't have any. I says, no. So I kept on looking for Bobby B's, wherever they are. And a couple of unsavory characters on the corner. Not to judge them, but I said, do you know where Bobby V's is? You mean Bonnie B's? I said, well, I don't know where it is. She said, it's back there on the corner of Chapman and Main. I said, okay, thank you. I go back. The homeless guy's still there. He said, you got any change? I said, same answer. I said, well, I thought, I got to give him something, you know. So I took out a dollar and gave it to him. He says, thank you. And I thought, great chance to witness to this poor soul. And I said, what's the best thing that's ever happened to you in your entire life? What's the best thing? He said, I used to drive a truck. I said, yeah. I said, but what was the best thing that ever happened to you? He said, I used to drive a truck and make money. I said, okay. I said, do you want to hear the best thing that's happened to me? He didn't, but I told him anyway. I said, I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I carried on, you know. He said, yeah. He says, enough. He said, I'm religious too. I said, it's not a matter of being religious. It's a relationship. Yeah. But, even in that condition, someone who's destitute still didn't want to know the Lord, but doesn't stop us from trying, does it? Then anyway, you just never know. You sow the seeds and let them fall where they may. But if we do receive Jesus, we will not be unequally yoked, but we shall be equally yoked with fellow believers, part of the family of God, forever and ever. Amen. Jesus said, Matthew 11, I'll close with this, 28:30. He says, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. Just closing a word of prayer. Father, again, we're so thankful to be here this morning. And we're not to cut ourselves off from unbelievers. We know better than they are. It's just that they don't know the truth, that's all. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine into them. We thank you that we've seen the light. You've shown us the light. And like a moth to the flame, we were drawn to you by your cords of love. And you manifested yourself to us, even though we're unworthy sinners. And now we have the light of the Lord. We are the temple of the living God. And we're so thankful. Help us to remember that and share our faith with those that are walking in darkness. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you again for tuning in. If you enjoyed this message, we'd love if you would join us at the First Baptist Church in Coleraine for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. We are located at 79 Foundry Village Road in Coleraine, Massachusetts. Hope to see you soon. God bless.